Yes, and hello once again. I'm Max Red, and welcome to my new... I have a new format that I'm going to try out today, and I plan to do this type of show more often. I'm going to call it the Max Red Deconstruction Zone. And basically, what I'm going to try to do is analyze the media, the news media, like I usually do, and try to give you my take on what's really going on and how the media is deceiving you and lies to you and the people in the media as well. And I figured why not start off with the Obama State of the Union address last night. So I put together a short show. I'm trying to do these shows a lot shorter because I certainly get a lot of flack from people telling me that my shows are too long, which I understand and I know, and I'm feeling my way through this thing. But I'm going to try to do a short show on the State of the Union. I'm going to give you my my take on it. I'm going to play you some clips like I usually do. And we're going to get the Deconstruction Zone started on the Max Rat Deconstruction Zone show. So why don't I just get right to it? We'll start off with the some clips from the State of the Union address last night. And here we go. Welcome aboard. Thanks for listening.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, fellow Americans. 51 years ago, John F. Kennedy declared to this chamber that the Constitution makes us not rivals for power, but partners for progress.
Yes, and okay, so Partners for Progress. That's the whole one. I feel like the theme of this whole speech was about it was a fascist speech about partnering government, partnering with business, which is the definition of fascism. The problem with that is that who gets to choose who gets to put part, you know, the grace and the backing of the American taxpayer through government, and the government is supposedly representing the people, but instead the government partners with select groups who they pick and choose, and not the American people. And so if you're not part of that group, you're asked out, and that's the whole fashion. And this whole speech, okay, was actually chock full of all kinds of partnership with this, partnership with that, and then, on a little bit more disturbing note, the companies that Obama mentioned or the United States government is going to be partnering with, so to speak, are all have very disturbing connections and affiliations, which I'm going to go into on the show. Let's keep it going. So we're partnering with he had the nerve to say that Kennedy implies that the Constitution tells us that we have a fascist state and the government should be partnering with business, which I'm not a constitutional scholar, but I hardly think that's what's the intention of the framers of the Constitution. Let's keep it going. I'm going to play this again.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, fellow Americans. 51 years ago, John F. Kennedy declared to this chamber that the Constitution makes us not rivals for power, but partners for progress.
Constitution makes us meaning the government, partners for progress. Okay. There you go.
And to make sure taxpayers don't shoulder the whole burden, I'm also proposing a partnership to rebuild America that attracts private capital to upgrade what our businesses need most. Modern ports to move our goods. Modern pipelines to withstand a storm. Modern schools worthy of our children. Let's prove there's no better place to do business than here in the United States of America, and let's start right away. We can get this done.
Yeah, okay, so that's about when he says partnering with private sector as well, again, which is, again, that's the fascist theme here throughout this whole speech, is now he's saying, well, let's privatize all our roads and bridges and things like that, and we'll sell them off to and that's how government will be partnering with a private corporation. And again, these are things that were purchased and paid for with taxpayer money. So the government is selling off our infrastructure to private corporations of their choice. Again, that's fascism, and that's the theme of this whole thing.
America's energy sector is just one part of an aging infrastructure badly in need of repair. Ask any CEO where they'd rather locate and hire. A country with deteriorating roads and bridges, or one with high-speed rail and internet, high-tech schools, self-healing power grids. The CEO of Siemens America, a company that brought hundreds of new jobs to North Carolina, said that if we upgrade our infrastructure, they'll bring even more jobs. And that's the attitude of a lot of companies all around the world.
Yeah, so, okay, so now he brings up a non-American company called Siemens, which, they're suggesting, you know, why don't you sell us some of your infrastructure and, at bargain basement prices, and, you know, and let the American taxpayer pay for it all, and we'll partner with you again, like, and just for the record, so I looked up, Siemens because, and this name of this blog was Siemens, a multinational German corporation, is a leader in ripping off the American U.S. healthcare system while everyone ignores its extremely ugly Nazi past. Let me just read you a little excerpt from here. Siemens general director during the Holocaust, Rudolf Bingel, was one of the senior German business leaders active in the notorious Himmlerkreis, the circle of friends of Reichsfuhrer SS Heinrich Himmler. The companies represented in Himmler's circle became pacesetters in the Aryanization and exploitation of concentration camp labor, seizure of foreign companies in the occupied territories, and similar business ventures that depended on SS cooperation. So, Siemens was has a very ugly Nazi past, to say the least. And that's just one mention of a Nazi company that Obama claims our government is partnering with for whatever reason. Okay, the overuse of medical imaging is of increasing concern to medical researchers. That's you'll hear about that in this speech as well. But this is all so Siemens obviously has a pretty powerful connection to our government and to Obama, you know, mentioning them in his speech, and of course, and at the same time, they have very deep connections with Nazi Germany, and I would say that's disturbing to me, and that's not the only connection in this relatively brief speech, but let's continue forward.
Every dollar we invested to map the human genome returned $140 to our economy.
Yeah, mapping the human genome, which sounds very, very Nazi to me also. And I hate to dwell on Nazi stuff, but that's, I don't know, it just jumped out of me. Like, I'm like listening to this speech, I'm like, wow, is it me or is Siemens? He's going to mention IBM next, and also a company with deep Nazi ties. So now we're mapping the human genome. Let me start that one again.
Every dollar we invested to map the human genome,
and that's that mapping of the human genome is a Siemens company's equipment as well.
Returned $140 to our economy. Every dollar. Today, our scientists are mapping the human brain to unlock the answers to Alzheimer's. They're developing drugs to regenerate damaged organs, devising new materials to make batteries 10 times more powerful. Now is not the time to gut these job-creating investments in science and innovation. Now is the time to reach a level of research and development not seen since the height of the space race. We need to make those investments.
And a big crowd of applause there. And what he's saying is that we need to invest, use the taxpayer funds again, to invest in companies like Siemens with the Nazi ties, and to develop human genome mapping devices and human brain mapping devices. Again, relatively disturbing, and also I don't know what we need to do that with a foreign company for, especially one with the background of Siemens. So let's keep going.
In fact, much of our newfound energy is drawn from lands and waters that we, the public, own together. So tonight I propose we use some of our oil and gas revenues to fund an energy security trust that will drive new research and technology to shift our cars and trucks off oil for good. If a nonpartisan coalition of CEOs and retired generals and admirals can get behind this idea.
Nonpartisan coalition of CEOs and retired generals and admirals. Okay, so it's a defense contracting in cahoots with government once again to create a taxpayer funded energy trust. Okay, again, so again, it's corporate interest partnering, quote unquote, with the government, with taxpayer funds, and now he wants to create a trust where taxpayers can fund the research and development for these companies, so they don't have to spend their own money, and they're private companies. Okay, that's again, it's just the theme throughout this whole speech is like we are the fascist United States of America now, and it's just twisted and it's crazy, and I don't know, and I'm shocked by people who I've seen who like, oh, Obama killed it last night, oh, he did this. I'm like, sounds like a very disturbing speech to me, but you know, that's the way I'll be. You'll be like, oh, you're overreacting. I don't think so.
Then so can we. Let's take their advice and free our families and businesses from the painful spikes in gas prices we put up with for far too long.
Right, by making the American people fund the energy companies, like they don't have enough money, like the oil companies and what have you, and the defense contracting companies who use our military to steal other people's oil in other countries, and now, but they don't want to spend their own money, and not that we don't subsidize them tremendously already. Why, I don't know why we need to subsidize oil companies with taxpayer money. I have no clue. But now, not only that, now they want us to taxpayer fund their research and their R&D as well. That's nice.
So tonight, I'm announcing the launch of three more of these manufacturing hubs, where businesses will partner with the Department of Defense and Energy to turn regions left behind by globalization.
Business partnering with the Department of National Defense, okay, isn't that nice? Again, business. Who chooses these companies? Who chooses who we partner with, okay? We use taxpayer funds to subsidize, so to speak. The one who bribes the government and the politicians the most, and that's how they recycle funds back into their pockets. That's why you have senators and congresspeople starting with humble upcomings, and then they're in the Senate or the House of Representatives for a bunch of years, and then next thing you know, they're worth $500 million, a la Feinstein and Pelosi, and of course there's certainly plenty of Republicans getting rich like that too. It's criminal.
Into global centers of high-tech jobs. And I ask this Congress to help create a network of 15 of these hubs and guarantee that the next revolution in manufacturing is made right here in America. We can get that done.
Right, in a fascist manufacturing where we use the American slaves. Where we use the American slaves to work the machines, or maybe even not do that, and just use it and just create this fascist partnership again with the Department of Defense, or what have you. Okay, and this is not terribly make me feel very feel good vibe I'm getting. Okay, and this is throughout this whole speech is like that.
Let's also make sure that a high school diploma puts our kids on a path to a good job. Right now, countries like Germany focus on graduating their high school students with the equivalent of a technical degree from one of our community colleges. So those German kids, they're ready for a job when they graduate high school. They've been trained for the jobs that are there. Now at schools like PTEC in Brooklyn, a collaboration between New York Public Schools and City University of New York and IBM.
Collaboration between IBM, another outright Nazi connect with an ugly quote-unquote Nazi past. And we're talking about Germany again, German high school kids, and now he's also telling you that you don't need to go to college anymore, just get a high school diploma, so you could run the machines for IBM, the Nazi collaborators. Yeah.
It appears to me that the American people might have a criminal syndicate running their government.
That's Cynthia McKinney, who appears to me very similar to that as well, folks. Let's keep going.
Let's also make sure that a high school diploma puts our kids on a path to a good job. Right now, countries like Germany focus on graduating their high school students with the equivalent of a technical degree from one of our community colleges. So those German kids, they're ready for a job when they graduate high school. They've been trained for the jobs that are there. Now at schools like PTEC in Brooklyn, a collaboration between New York Public Schools and City University of New York and IBM.
Collaboration with public and private. Okay, there you go. That's called fascism continued.
Now, these initiatives in manufacturing, energy, infrastructure, housing, all these things will help entrepreneurs and small business owners expand and create new jobs. But none of it will matter unless we also equip our citizens with the skills and training to fill those jobs.
Yeah, and he's calling small businesses and entrepreneurs. No, that's going to help the big corporate mechanisms. And then he's going to say, yeah, but Americans don't have the proper training anyway to get those jobs. That's going to be the excuse why nobody has a job. And because the jobs are offshored to foreign lands, and like China and Vietnam and India, and the Americans don't have the proper training for those jobs, but that's going to help a small business. No, it's not. That's ridiculous, okay? That's a lie.
Most young people will need some higher education. It's a simple fact. The more education you've got, the more likely you are to have a good job and work your way into the middle class.
Right, so so he's assuming that everybody's in the lower class. Okay, you need a higher education to work your way into the middle class, which is another interesting way this speech was designed. He never mentions anybody of any means at all, anybody who's successful, okay, or a lot of people might call themselves upper middle class and maybe even trying to be upper class. But this whole speech is directed at, this is only, we're only going to help the poorest of the poor to get to the middle class, and listen, there's nothing wrong with helping poor people or educating everybody, which of course is great, but this isn't about education, this isn't about helping the poor, this is about a fascist control of education and treating the people like we're all low class and we're going to help the low class. So it kind of spites and snipes those people who I believe that most Americans feel like they're middle class or even better. Certainly when I'm here in New York City, that most people feel like that, But no, now you're all lower class, okay, and you need a higher education to make it to middle class, okay. But you're not going to be able to afford the higher education because of the ridiculous prices and the government backing of student loans, which escalates prices exponentially.
Lowered expectations.
Susan Whitfield, number 623.
Hi, my name is Susan Whitfield, and I'm doing this to break out of my shell and take charge of my life. And I don't care what everyone says, because I'm special, and I deserve that special someone So look out, world, because here I come.
And play that clip, because that's what they are doing is trying to lower people's expectations also, because you're going to get your pension stolen and you bankrupt the country, so don't expect much anymore.
And that has to start at the earliest possible age. You know, study after study shows that the sooner a child begins learning, the better he or she does down the road. But today, fewer than 3 in 10 four-year-olds are enrolled in a high-quality preschool program. Most middle-class parents can't afford a few hundred bucks a week for a private preschool. And for poor kids who need help the most, this lack of access to preschool education can shadow them for the rest of their lives. So tonight, I propose working with states to make high-quality preschool available to every single child in America.
Yeah, that's just about getting your kids early and keeping them. That has something to do with, you know, parents can teach their kids fine in the preschool years, and give your kids over to the state. What they're trying to do is give kids over to the state younger and younger, and we'll make it so the states kind of make it mandatory that you do that, so you can't homeschool them or teach them anything you want. We have to, the state owns your kids. More of that, like it's everywhere anyway, more of that.
So, together, we have cleared away the rubble of crisis. And we can say with renewed confidence that the state of our union is stronger.
Yeah, whatever that means.
So let's set party interests aside and work to pass a budget that replaces reckless cuts with smart savings and wise investments in our future. And let's do it without the brinksmanship that stresses consumers and scares off investors. The greatest nation on earth cannot keep conducting its business by drifting from one manufactured crisis to the next.
Yeah, and he laughs in the middle of that while he says it, but he goes, so he's admitting that they are manufactured crises, which is what my previous shows are all about, is how all these shootings and certainly all of them are manufactured crises. These are not spontaneous or natural occurrences. These are manufactured crises. And he laughed in the middle of it, blaming him.
So let's set party interests aside and work to pass a budget that replaces reckless cuts with smart savings and wise investments in our future. And let's do it without the brinksmanship that stresses consumers and scares off investors. The greatest nation on earth cannot keep conducting its business by drifting from one manufactured crisis to the next.
Yeah, he's laughing. We're just drifting from one fake crisis, manufactured crisis, to the next. And he laughs in the middle, like, because you guys are such idiots. Like, you know, isn't that funny?
The American people have worked too hard for too long, rebuilding from one crisis, to see their elected officials cause another.
Right, so our elected officials are causing a crisis. So our elected officials are causing crazy crises. He admitted that too. Okay, isn't that nice?
We can choose to believe that Superstorm Sandy and the most severe drought in decades and the worst wildfires some states have ever seen were all just a freak coincidence. Or we can choose to believe in the overwhelming judgment of science.
Right, which are these are manufactured crises and not freak coincidences, okay? Again, that's the... I feel like it's an admission of that the majority or all of these crises that they come up with every single day are manufactured. It's elected officials cause them, he said, and America can't keep going on from one manufactured crisis to another. Rubbing it right in your face.
Now we need to finish the job. And the question is...
Finish the job is disturbing to me in general, whatever that job is. I mean, the job is, I guess, to take us into a fascist, totalitarian police state. And, yeah, that's the job.
Now we need to finish the job. And the question is, how? In 2011, Congress passed a law saying that if both parties couldn't agree on a plan to reach our deficit goal, about $1 trillion worth of budget cuts would automatically go into effect this year. These sudden, harsh, arbitrary cuts would jeopardize our military readiness. They'd devastate priorities like education and energy and medical research. They would certainly slow our recovery and cost us hundreds of thousands of jobs. And that's why Democrats, Republicans, business leaders, and economists have already said that these cuts, known here in Washington as the sequester, are a really bad idea.
Right, so don't cut military spending. You know, military readiness might be threatened. Because you know, the minute we spend less than $1 trillion a year or more than every other country in the world combined on military, we will be invaded by another country. I'm sure. No, they use that money to steal other people's oil and use our military as a bulldog to intimidate, to steal from resources from other countries. That's what that's for, and we can't cut back on that. No, so we don't want any. Now I'm against cuts for in Social Security and Medicaid and things like that. But what this is all about is, no, we can't have any cuts on anything. So we can't cut the military, all the wars. And until we cut the wars, we're going to be broke. Okay, we're on a fast track to bankruptcy. But there, you will never hear them mention once to cut any military spending at all, because the military spend industrial complex and the security industrial complex own and bought and paid for whores in this stupid, criminal, fascist, wannabe government, okay, which is where we're pretty much there already, but let's keep going.
Now, some in Congress have proposed preventing only the defense cuts by making even bigger cuts to things like education and job training.
Right, preventive defense cuts and just cut Social Security and Medicaid and all the stuff that people paid for already out of their own money. It's not entitlement. It's something they paid for already.
Medicare and Social Security benefits. That idea is even worse.
Right. Yeah. Don't cut military. Listen again.
Now, some in Congress have proposed preventing only the defense cuts by making even bigger cuts to things like education and job training, Medicare, and Social Security benefits. That idea is even worse.
Yep. He says we don't want to prevent cuts from the military. So. No, don't cut the military, whatever you do, because we need to go kill people, you know, and steal their resources.
On Medicare, I'm prepared to enact reforms that will achieve the same amount of health care savings by the beginning of the next decade as the reforms proposed by the bipartisan Simpson-Bowles Commission.
Right, so he's prepared to do cuts in Medicare. Comparing him to the Simpson-Bowles Commission, do I know what the hell they wrote in there? No, but I'll listen to Medicare cuts, but no, don't cut the military. No, and you know what else he says, you know, I'll entertain. He says, I'll entertain reducing subsidies to big pharma. I'm like, oh, reduce them? You know, we'll still give them subsidies, but to big pharma, like, they don't make enough money. So the companies that we subsidize are big energy companies and big pharma. We subsidize as well. A lot of why the companies that make the most profits in the world are subsidized, I don't know.
We'll reduce taxpayer subsidies to prescription drug companies and ask more from the wealthiest seniors.
Oh, and ask more from the wealthiest. Yeah, and you know what? We'll get it. We'll hit up old people who've worked their whole lives, you know, because they got money. That's nice.
Yes, the biggest driver of our long-term debt is the rising cost of health care for an aging population. And those of us who care deeply about programs like Medicare must embrace the need for modest reforms. Otherwise, our retirement programs will crowd out the investments we need for our children.
Right. We can't pay your pensions, okay? Our retirement programs are going to crowd out spending for our children, right? In other words, yeah, we need to spend your... We already spent your retirement money and your pensions, but we need to cut back on Medicare and the stuff that you already paid for out of your own money and work and toil, because we need to spend that on your kids, you know, so that'll make you feel better that they stole your pension.
Our government shouldn't make promises we cannot keep, but we must keep the promises we've already made.
What, that's a totally doublespeak. That's the old Orwellian doublespeak. I don't know what the hell that means.
Our government shouldn't make promises we cannot keep, but we must keep the promises we've already made.
Unless we can't keep. There you go.
Let's agree right here, right now, to keep the people's government open and pay our bills on time.
The people's government's like China, like communist China, the people's Republic of America.
Let's agree right here, right now, to keep the people's government open and pay our bills on time and always uphold the full faith and credit of the United States of America.
Right, that's giving you a signal that let's work hard to make sure we don't go bankrupt or we keep uphold the credit of the United States of America, the people's credit, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Our housing market is healing. Our stock market is rebounding, and consumers, patients, and homeowners enjoy stronger protections than ever before.
Housing market's healing, and we have stronger protections. That's because, like, get ready to, you're going to be, oh, I thought we had stronger protections. I guess they weren't strong enough. Yeah, that's going to happen. That's what's about to happen.
Too many families with solid credit who want to buy a home are being rejected. Too many families who never missed a payment and want to refinance are being told no.
Yeah, so if you never missed a payment and you can't refinance, why would you do that? Why wouldn't a bank? I thought the banks make money when they lend money, especially to somebody with good credit history or unblemished credit histories, like they said. Okay, so why do they do that? That's because the banks know that the market still has not reached bottom, and they do not want to make faulty loans. And it's also rhetoric to bring in this next thing, which is this refi bill.
Right now, there's a bill in this Congress that would give every responsible homeowner in America the chance to save $3,000 a year by refinancing at today's rates. Democrats and Republicans have supported it before. So what are we waiting for? Take a vote and send me that bill.
Yeah, so this refi bill is kind of, I don't know, again, I haven't read the bill, but it's kind of strange because he's saying you get $3,000 a year to everybody. I guess it doesn't matter how large your or small your mortgage is. I guess that's what they're going to do. Is they're saying refi, because banks don't want to do any mortgages that aren't backed by the government. Okay, that's because they know that the market will still continue to plummet, and I'm sure they're expecting even a larger collapse than it's already occurred. So they're trying to come up with new ways for the government to back mortgages, so the American taxpayer can be on the hook for more fraudulent bank dealings. Like we're not on the hook for trillions and trillions already. That's what that was about. Let's keep going.
Let me repeat. Nothing I'm proposing tonight should increase our deficit by a single dime.
Okay. By the way, I'm selling some swampland in the Everglades for anybody who's interested. If anybody believes that, I got great deals. So let me know.
We produce more natural gas than ever before. and nearly everyone's energy bill is lower because of it. And over the last 4 years, our emissions of the dangerous carbon pollution that threatens our planet have actually fallen. But for the sake of our children and our future, we must do more to combat climate change.
Didn't you know that? Didn't you hear that? That all of our energy bills are lower. Haven't you heard about that?
We produce more natural gas than ever before, and nearly everyone's energy bill is lower because of it.
Right. So, in other words, if you're buying natural gas, it's lower. Whatever. It's lower percentage wise. It's the first I'm hearing of any energy any bill going down lately. But there you have it.
I'm also issuing a new goal for America. Let's cut in half the energy wasted by our homes and businesses over the next 20 years.
Right, that's about smart meters. Okay, that's why we need to. Yes, let's do that. So let's mandate we do that, and then we'll put a smart meter on your house so the government could control how much you run your refrigerator at night or your air conditioner or whatever energy you're using. That's what that's about, smart meters.
Tonight, thanks to the grit and determination of the American people, there is much progress to report. After a decade of grinding war, our brave men and women in uniform are coming home.
Right, they're coming home tonight.
Beyond 2014, America's commitment to a unified and sovereign Afghanistan will endure.
Oh, so our commitment to Afghanistan will endure after 2014, but we're coming home tonight.
Tonight, thanks to the grit and determination of the American people, there is much progress to report. After a decade of grinding war, our brave men and women in uniform are coming home.
Yay.
Beyond 2014, America's commitment to a unified and sovereign Afghanistan will endure.
Right, because so I guess we're not coming home tonight. But here we go.
That America will complete its mission in Afghanistan and achieve our objective of defeating the core of Al-Qaeda.
Right, so here we go with Al-Qaeda again. And folks, if you listen to many of my shows, I want to make this clear that there is no such thing as Al-Qaeda, okay? That's just it's just ridiculous already. We've already proven that 9/11 was an inside job, okay? And it was not done by anybody in a Muslim in a cave in Afghanistan, so... and we've never caught one. I mean, we've been chasing around Al-Qaeda for 15 years with a trillion plus a year defense budget, and we've never caught one person from Al-Qaeda ever. Isn't that nice? So we say we shot him, and then we shot him, we disposed of the body, just threw him out the window, or we say we shot him, we captured and killed Osama bin Laden, who's mythical and fake and never existed and is just it's made up also. We caught him in Pakistan, and then but the helicopter that he was in was shot, the SEALs were in was shot down or came down supposedly or crashed, but somehow we flew him over the ocean and threw him out into the ocean to give him a proper Muslim burial, which is bizarre and ridiculous, okay? But you'll never see you'll never be able to verify. So we still haven't caught anybody alive ever from Al-Qaeda. But the same helicopter that supposedly crashed was supposedly threw him out the window into the ocean. So again, I'm not sure how much more stupid you can be, but doesn't seem to make a lot of sense either.
We're negotiating an agreement with the Afghan government that focuses on two missions: training and equipping Afghan forces so that the country does not again slip into chaos, and counterterrorism efforts that allow us to pursue the remnants of Al-Qaeda and their affiliates.
Right, so we're coming home.
Today, the organization that attacked us on 9/11 is a shadow of its former self.
Right, that's not for sure because the organization that attacked us on 9/11 is called the New World Order and not Al-Qaeda. And if we're training and we also want to have, you know, not only are we training Afghanistan forces, even though we're coming home today or tonight, according to Obama.
Tonight, Thanks to the grit and determination of the American people, there is much progress to report. After a decade of grinding war, our brave men and women in uniform are coming home.
Yeah, we're coming home. Coming home tonight.
We're negotiating an agreement with the Afghan government that focuses on two missions: training and equipping Afghan forces so that the country does not again slip into chaos, and counterterrorism efforts that allow us to pursue the remnants of al-Qaeda and their affiliates.
Right. We want to be able to chase, you know, we're going to come back and any, anytime we want, we're still going to kill your citizens because they're al-Qaeda. That's what that says. Okay, then, you know, and also because, you know what, because we want to use drones to kill whoever we want.
That's why my administration has worked tirelessly to forge a durable legal and policy framework to guide our counterterrorism efforts. Throughout, we have kept Congress fully informed of our efforts. And I recognize that...
Well, we keep you informed. You know, we just do whatever we want, and we'll... We told Congress we were going to do that. Yeah, but just... No. I thought Congress is supposed to initiate or authorize use of military force on anybody, but no, he said, no, we told Congress we're using military force, and we're doing it within our legal boundaries, right?
In our democracy, no one should just take my word for it that we're doing things the right way. So in the months ahead, I will continue to engage Congress to ensure not only that our targeting, detention, and prosecution of terrorists remains consistent with our laws and system of checks and balances, but that our efforts are even more transparent to the American people and to the world.
Oh, even more than they are now, which is secret. So, we're just doing whatever we want, and we'll keep Congress posted, guys, okay?
What do they think as we test out our latest weapons on them? Just as the Germans tested out new medicine and new tortures in the concentration camps of Europe.
Yep, back to, we're just testing. Yeah, let's test out some drones on them, you know. I mean, that's, you know, it's all to catch Al-Qaeda.
Instead, we'll need to help countries like Yemen, Libya, and Somalia provide for their own security.
Oh, yeah, we need to help. We need to help them a lot. Yeah, so, we'll, you know, drones help them. Well, yeah, we'll provide for their own security, help them provide their own security by droning them.
And help allies who take the fight to terrorists, as we have in Mali.
Right, like who, or allies like France, who were stealing Mali's, who along with us want to steal Mali's oil. So in the north, so we're helping the terrorists are Muslims supposedly, but everybody in Mali is Muslim. So they're a country full of Muslim terrorists, and that's why we should just kill them and take their oil. That'll be best for Mali.
And where necessary, through a range of capabilities, we will continue to take direct action against those terrorists who pose the gravest threat to Americans.
Right, or Americans, cheap oil, because so everybody, if you don't want to give us your oil for free, you're a terrorist, and we're gonna have to take direct action against you. Okay, next, so coming down to the backstretch of the show, let's talk about cyber threats.
America must also face the rapidly growing threat from cyber attacks. Now, we know hackers steal people's identities and infiltrate private emails.
Oh, yeah, those are hackers, not the NSA or anything like that.
We know foreign countries and companies swipe our corporate secrets.
Right, that wouldn't be our own people spying on us. No, those are foreign countries.
Now our enemies are also seeking the ability to sabotage our power grid, our financial institutions, our air traffic control systems. We cannot look back years from now and wonder why we did nothing in the face of real threats to our security and our economy. And that's why earlier today, I signed a new executive order that will strengthen our cyber defenses by increasing information sharing and developing standards to protect our national security, our jobs, and our privacy.
Yes, so yes, we need cybersecurity to protect our jobs and our privacy. That means not to protect them. That means that we need to lock down the internet, because we don't need you guys talking to each other too much and waking each other up too much, because we have a fascist police state going on here.
Yes, I am worried about it, and it starts with a smiling face. Remember Ronald Reagan once said the 9 most dangerous words in the English language are, quote, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you, close quote. So basically, the deputy Department of Homeland Security secretary, you just ran a clip of her, is saying, we're going to share our information with you. We're going to help you by telling you what we know. That's the beginning of the end, because the next step is, well, we gave you all this information, now we need access to yours. Look, the internet, as we know it today in 2013, is the freest marketplace for ideas the modern world has ever known. It can take care of itself. If the Chinese attack the New York Times knows what to do about it, knows how to resist it. It doesn't need the mentality of the people who run the post office to try and protect them, and that's what will happen. What will also happen is the government will know too much about us, and the government will not be able to resist the temptation to censure us. Now, can the president do this on his own? No. But he will start a relationship, I fear, between private industry and the government that will result in the destruction of privacy and the destruction of freedom. And once that door is open, once the camel's nose is under the tent, if you'll pardon these analogies, it won't close. And the camel won't leave.
Of course. And then we got another partnership between private and public government and private corporations. Again, more fascist, totalitarian, Nazi spying stuff, and that won't end well, and we're already there.
But now Congress must act as well by passing legislation to give our government a greater capacity to secure our networks and deter attacks.
Right, we need Congress to have a greater capacity to spy on us, to deter attacks, or just to spy a greater capacity to control the internet. Congress, yeah.
Okay, let me tell you what happened with national.
You think that's a good idea? I doubt it. I not doubt it. I'm sure it's not. Okay, I'm sure. Okay, you know what? We want to take away the internet as well, or just control, maybe start a new internet too.
National Security Agency spying in the Bush administration. The Bush administration went to the 5 major telecoms and said, we want to listen to telephone calls and we don't have search warrants. We want you to give us access to your hardware. Don't worry about it. We'll get your legislation to protect you from violating privacy. 4 of them said yes, 1 said no. What a coincidence. About 2 months after the one that said no, the chair of that company was indicted for insider trading, having nothing whatsoever to do with this. He was convicted, acquitted on appeal, reconvicted, serving 8 years in jail, and bankrupted.
Man.
Because the Bush administration decided to get even with someone who wouldn't play ball with them.
There you go, and that's just part of the what. So we need to pass a law to give the government more power over the internet, and so. And then if you don't like it, and we'll screw you over if you open your mouth, or you're a whistleblower if you don't want to play ball, as they say. All right, so we're going to. So in the last comment I'm going to make about this speech was about the him going on and on about all the he uses all the fake shootings in my that I've discussed and throughout my. You just look at maxrat.com, you'll see all the fake shootings, and then you'll And we need Obama to tell us, like, you know, about how that's his thing for gun control, which is really just the advancement of the police state. And we will use all these manufactured crises, okay, manufactured crises, remember that part? And to talk about fake shootings. Here we go.
Gabby Giffords deserves a vote. The families of Newtown deserve a vote. The families of Aurora deserve a vote. The families of Oak Creek and Tucson and Blacksburg and the countless other communities ripped open by gun violence, they deserve a simple vote.
He got all of them standing up clapping like, yeah, we deserve a vote, whatever that means. And we're going to talk about all the fake staged crises that we created, manufactured by our own admission to get a vote against the advancement of more police state. Isn't that nice? There you go.
The American people don't expect government to solve every problem.
Well, it's not their expected to. They know they won't, okay? They won't any problem.
They don't expect those of us in this chamber.
They manufacture the problem. He just heard his own admission.
They agree on every issue. But they do expect us to put the nation's interests before party.
That's how long they clap for this one. Right, so they're giving themselves a hand like, yes, we put our nation's interests, we put our constituents' interests before our own party. No, yeah, right. Are you kidding me? And they all clap up like, yes, give ourselves a hand because we are so, that's really happening. And I guess Americans just, like, go along with it and say, yeah, look at them. They do that. They care about us. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Let me repeat. Nothing I'm proposing tonight should increase our deficit by a single dime.
Nothing will increase our deficit by a single dime, and our deficit is really a lot of it is money that's not owed because owed to the Federal Reserve for interest on money that they created of thin air. Not only that, but the private IRS is collecting a lot of this this monies. Okay, that is a private corporation, incorporated in the state of Delaware, and it is not. And so, when you pay your tax money, and you think it's going into the United States Treasury to pay for all these programs and stuff like that. It is not. It's going directly to the Federal Reserve to pay the interest on the debt for the money that they created out of nothing to pay for these wars and that unfunded wars of aggression against so-called terrorist countries. And the cycle just keep continuing round and round and round while they fleece Americans and bankrupt you and steal your pension and then tell you that you need to get back your pension and your Social Security and your Medicaid to fund all this crap. And on that note, that's the end of the show. It's called The Deconstruction Zone. It's my new show. I'm going to try to make them shorter. I got it down to an hour, which is pretty good for me, I guess. I thought I was going to do it in 20 minutes, but I'll take it. Here's another last clip on the about Nazi ties to our government and our current government. And there certainly was a whole lot of talk, I mean, with IBM and Siemens and German high schools and I'm not sure, and fascism and totalitarianism and spying, cybersecurity spying. That what this whole speech was about to me. Thanks for coming aboard the Max Rat Deconstruction Zone. I'm Max Rat. Over and out. I'm going to play you a little clip from this Nazi thing, and then I'm going to call it a show. Thanks for tuning in.
Some very shocking documents that I saw at the Library of Congress 2 weeks ago on August 10th, had to do with the hearings of the McCormick-Dickstein Committee of November 1934, show that Prescott Bush and the DuPont family, the Remington family, and J.P. Morgan tried to overthrow the U.S. government, assassinate FDR, and put a Hitler-style fascist state in place. I have in my possession testimony from the McCormick-Dickstein Committee in November of 1934 by one of the fascist plotters that they were going to follow Hitler's model exactly and impose martial law on the United States, round up unemployed people that were worthless to the economy and troublemakers and Jews and put them into internment camps. And their plan was, if necessary, to exterminate the people that could not be part of the effort. The only reason the coup attempt in 1934 didn't succeed is that they hired the wrong general to lead it, General Smedley Butler, the great Marine hero, two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, who worked with the plotters just long enough to be able to identify who they were and then blew the whistle on them to Congress. Incredibly, after being warned by the FBI and the Justice Department and the Treasury Department to cease and desist in their Nazi dealings, they had continued them until 1951. there had been 28 additional seizures of Nazi assets and Nazi business fronts between late 1942 and 1951, and that they had moved Nazi assets into Switzerland, Brazil, Argentina, and Panama, and they had continued to do business with their primary Nazi patron, who was Fritz Thyssen, who backed Hitler beginning in 1921 and who was the wealthiest man in Germany, and a steel and coal baron who, with his partner Friedrich Flick, essentially built the Nazi war machine along with IG Farben.